The band Virginia to Vegas has a song called Better Man. And some of the lyrics say this: "And I got pretty lucky, made a whole bunch of money, but I don't feel any better yet. So I try to be the best I can, to be a better me, a better man." What is a satisfying life? Maybe we think that if we could make a whole bunch of money, we would in fact have satisfying lives. But who has a satisfying life, and how is that determined? What if I told you today that there is a pathway to a more deeply satisfying life? Would you take it? That, in fact, is what the Lord Jesus Christ offers us in his Sermon on the Hillside, which begins in Matthew chapter 5. And today we're going to begin exploring that sermon in verse 3 of chapter 5. Now, these statements of Jesus that he begins his sermon with are known as Beatitudes. They're like short parables of truth. They became known as Beatitudes because the Latin word beati means blessed or rich or happy. And in the Latin version of the Bible called the Vulgate, they were called the Beatitudo. And that became anglicized as Beatitudes. And so that's why each of these are statements of blessing, the Beatitudes. What is a satisfying life? That's what this sermon is about. That's what this series is about. He begins by saying, or we conclude, and in terms of answering the question, what is a satisfying or a blessed life? God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. Now, at first reading, one might ask the question, so what does this mean? Does this mean I have to take a vow of poverty or do something drastic in order to be blessed by God? The word blessed in the Greek makarios means that the blessed person will outlast the upheaval and the deterioration of the world going on around us. The Amplified Bible has a great way of explaining this word. It expands it this way: blessed, happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous, that is, with life joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions. Blessing's major function seems to have been to confer on someone or something abundance and effective life. And so this is what God's blessing means: abundance and effective life. In fact, God's blessing is not something we negotiate for or bargain with him for. He says, "My hands have made both heaven and earth. They and everything in them are mine. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts, who tremble at my word." So to obey God is to live with a sense of well-being, with a satisfied life. Jesus said that the less stressed way to live and have this satisfied life is to bring to him our troubles and our lives. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. Are you looking to God for a more satisfying life, or are you looking everywhere else? Do you need more overtime, a better job all the time, or do you need to turn to God with your finances? Is it necessary to work more, or is it more necessary to build community with friends and family? These are questions of the soul that we must bring to him. Do you want more of everything, or do you want to depend on God more? Who, then, lives a satisfying life? God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. Now, this part of the verse is challenging. Luke records Jesus' words in a somewhat different way. He says, "God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours." Now, the terms kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God mean the same thing. Matthew is writing from a very Hebrew perspective, and Jewish rabbis would avoid, out of deep reverence for the name of God, using the name of God, Yahweh, and so instead they would substitute the word heaven in place of the word God. But it means the same thing. It refers to the rule of God in the world. And the word translated poor here meant those who have sustained economic loss, but also social distress and really have nowhere to turn but to God. That is what the term had come to mean. While the word acknowledges material poverty, it also refers to being poor in spirit or lowly in spirit. As God says through Isaiah, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. Though material poverty doesn't guarantee humility, when we put our focus on wealth and trying to gain more, then we do guarantee ourselves a spiritually destitute situation in life. The Lord Jesus says to a church in the book of Revelation, you say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Jesus reaches out to them saying, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him. Do you need that second job, that bigger income? Or do you need a simpler lifestyle? Or do you need to bring to God your material possessions, your finances, and invite Him to be Lord of all of those things, recognizing that everything you have really is a product of His kindness? The current scandal facing our Prime Minister and the We Charity illustrates how the more we give money to a charity which we are not related to or and to people to whom we have no relationship, the more we just contribute to the system that causes the problem in the first place. A Toronto suburban church decided some years ago that they would pack up a lunch every Sunday afternoon and they would go to a very destitute part of the city, take tables and chairs, and serve lunch to homeless people. And this went all right, but after several months, they evaluated and asked the question, are we doing enough bringing food and clothing to these folks? In fact, they had the brilliant idea of asking the homeless people themselves, who surprised them by saying, actually, you know, we have food stamps and some gift cards, and we would like very much to contribute to the lunches. In fact, we would like to help set up and to take down or clean up afterwards. And so, out of this grew a remarkable fellowship where people met together around the table from different parts of society. And out of that grew a rich relationship. In fact, in time, about 20 of the people moved from suburbia to this part of the city. And a few years later, a church grew up out of this fellowship. The kingdom of heaven had broken in. We recognize our poverty together, and God recognizes and blesses. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him. So why do we pursue a satisfying life, a life of blessing? God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Now, this seems like a paradox. The kingdom of heaven is given to the poor, and it eclipses the promise of wealth to other people. Jesus declared that when He cast out demons in the power of the Holy Spirit, that the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God had already come. And when religious leaders known as Pharisees asked Him when the kingdom would come, He answered by saying, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there, for the kingdom of God is already among you. He proceeded also, of course, to tell parables of the kingdom of heaven breaking in a dramatic way, depicting the fact that He will return. But in the meantime, we are to live on in the kingdom of heaven, breaking the kingdom of heaven, not by our own power or possessions, but acknowledging our poverty and dependence of God. For the way to demonstrate and to bring the kingdom of heaven into earth is to acknowledge our poverty and not our gifts, to acknowledge our dependence on the living God. When John's disciples asked Jesus if He was the Messiah, He said, go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, The dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. The kingdom of heaven doesn't give priority to the visionary leader, or the Olympian, or the physician, or the rich, but to those who realize their need for God. Why be satisfied with God? Because the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him. So how do we live this satisfying life? We embrace our poverty, not position or possessions. The kingdom of heaven doesn't refer to a geographical place or to a possession, but to the power of God. In fact, when a very rich man refused to divest himself of his possessions so that he could enter the kingdom of heaven, Jesus' disciples were chagrined. And Jesus explained to them, "Dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." His disciples, who valued possessions as signs of God's blessing, were perplexed and then said, "Who in the world can be saved?" And Jesus answered them. He looked at them very intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God." Do you depend on God for a satisfying life? Nothing wrong with enjoying a new vehicle, but how do you respond when it gets those first few scratches? Nothing wrong with enjoying a lovely home or a new home, but how do you react and how do you treat the contractor or the subtrades when you have to keep calling them back to fix things that are under warranty? One time in our lives, we owned a new home. It was a small, lovely, new half duplex. And I thought, finally, here's a home where we won't have to do much maintenance. But after several calls to the contractor to have them come back and fix things that needed to be repaired, I became agitated, in fact, became angry. At one point, I remember saying, "I never want another new home again." And then it dawned on me, of course, that this was a possession. Lovely home, lousy God. There's nothing wrong with having a good financial plan or a good retirement plan. But is it easy for us to look at acquiring wealth and make that the touchstone of how we're doing? In fact, perhaps of whether or not we are blessed by God instead of being entirely dependent on Him. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him. So the question lingers then, what do we do about Jesus' teaching here? How do we treat this? How do we respond? Here are some practical steps in no particular order. Come to God empty-handed. Our position, our possessions, our imagined power, none of these bring us into the kingdom of God, and none of these sustain us in the kingdom of God. God's blessing is His work. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us we should just offer our bodies as an act of living worship to Him, living sacrifices to Him. In fact, it is us He wants, not our possessions. And He alone has the power to save. Come to God empty-handed. And then thank God for everything He has given you. We are not self-made. We are blessed. Everything we have, we've received from Him. Several nights ago, I lay in my tent in the backcountry. We were hiking in the beautiful Canadian Rockies. But the weather was not beautiful. In fact, we'd hiked over a fairly long pass through hail and cold rain. And that night the temperature dropped and it became very chilly. And as I lay in my sleeping bag, contemplating daylight and shivering a bit, I realized again, I do this for recreation. For me, this is an outing and it's fun. And I love to be out in the outdoors. But there are people who live like this year round who cannot look forward to, in a few days, hiking out to a lovely home and a real pillow. Thank God for everything that He's given you. And then third, pray more about what to give than what to acquire. Jesus told His followers not to worry about life, everyday life, as they go about their business and trust Him. But He said, Don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. Marva Dawn wrote about lecturing in a seminary in Poland. She said that six of the female students in the course lived in a room no larger than her study back home, that each of them had a wardrobe that was so small it would fit on one small space of a shelf. And she writes, "It is a frank invitation of the gospel that I leave my former way of life of having far too many clothes. Come to God empty-handed. Thank Him for everything He's given. And pray more about what to give than what to acquire. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him. May He bless us with a truly satisfying life."